You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 18 May. I'm Simon Brown coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Johannesburg. On the show today, Nick Kuntz from Sunland Private Wealth, talking markets, Aspen and Richemont, Altron CEO, and the benefits to their business from this work from home trend. And then Johanna Els, Chief Economist, Old Mutual, the MPC rate decision on Thursday, another 1% cut perhaps. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb, the $100 billion COVID-19 loan scheme now operational. And from CNBC, Powell, the Fed chair, says a full economic recovery may not happen without a vaccine. On Friday, U.S. markets were green. We see the same in Asian markets this morning. ZAR around 1850. Commodities all green, with oil doing well and PGMs strongly green. Betting markets looking for about a 1% opening on the top 40 later this morning.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Nick Kuntz, he's a portfolio manager at Sunlam Private Wealth. Nick, morning, thanks for your time. More horror data out of the US. 36 million is now the initial claims for over the last 8 weeks, initial jobless claims. US retail down 16.4%, worst in record and well worse than the 12.3 expected. All of that taken into account, Nick, US markets are able to shrug off any negative data, it seems, and they managed a green close to the week.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Yeah, it is quite, these numbers are extraordinary. I mean, I'm running out of what I think I said the word superlatives to my clients to describe, you know, these record-setting numbers to, and certainly record-setting to the downside. It just seems to be this real tug of war we have at the moment between what the central bankers and I guess people in Wall Street are seeing and what I guess the real economy on the ground floor is seeing. And there seems to be quite a chasm between the two that needs to be closed at some point. I don't know where fair value is. One side of me says I think this market's got too much euphoria, and the other side is maybe we're not going to see too much back to the lows again. But right now, market looking at this is through sort of rose-tinted glasses. And again, as you pointed out in your intro, you know, market's pointing higher, S&P futures are looking higher, and we've got a chocker week full of more economic data once again as well, which might set the tone for the moment.
And the short version, I suppose, as well, is, and this is the old cliche of don't fight the Fed. The Federal Reserve is throwing all of its armory at this, and frankly, it is a lot of armory.
Yeah, I mean, that it's right, Simon, and not, it's not just the Fed. I mean, I was reading on the FT this morning, Germany's sort of coronavirus or COVID-19 bailout package is the biggest in the world. It's 32% of GDP. So it's not just the Fed. The numbers are eye-watering. You know, Germany, Bank of Japan, China, don't forget, are also coming to the party with packages. So there is a massive, I guess, a wall of liquidity being thrown at this market. And as you've seen, as central banks' balance sheets have grown, they tend to be very correlated to what Wall Street does with that money. Unfortunately, we're in the scenario where, you know, I don't know how much this is a monetary problem and more of a sort of a problem which is needs to be solved at a health level, not a wallet level. But yeah. For now, I guess traders are happy to follow where the money goes and follow the Fed.
Yeah, markets are happy. The health is perhaps more important, but markets matter. Staying with health, yeah. Coming back home, update from Aspen on Friday. A lot of moving parts, and the two that struck me, one was their debt, and we know that that's coming down. They've been selling assets. Good to see that. But they've kept their full-year normalized HEPS target at 1350. That puts them on a forward PE of around 10 times. In an otherwise market where we're scratching our head, 10 times forward PE for Aspen kind of says to me, hang on, this isn't bad. There's actually perhaps some value here at 135. Or am I being overly optimistic?
I don't think you are. We had this on our radar. Our sort of Sunlum group was looking at it, and I think the comment I took away from one of the analysts was, it's starting to look interesting. we have avoided it for a while, and I actually quite, from a trading point of view, we've had a lot of clients and I've been watching the stock. And you've got to say, Simon, it's been trading very well. In down markets, the stock has been, it's been fairly good. It's been in the green. It was down at sort of 109, 110, that's 110 Rand a share. You know, has a decent push up. And quite frankly, I think in this environment, you've got to say with the cash flow that they've got, as you pointed out, not expensive at the moment, doing everything that the market has asked the management to do, i.e. sort of get that debt pile down. And also, if you add into the fact that, you know, this eruption of this coronavirus pandemic, I mean, it could actually be a bit of a silver lining for the likes of Aspen, who's one of their main sort of stables is respiratory drugs and the like. You know, it actually might be quite a good one. And I second what our guys said. I think this is looking very interesting.
Moving then to Richemont, which came out results. Obviously, overall, it was fourth quarter, so it's a bit lagging. Sales down 18% in actual exchange rate. But what we did see, Hong Kong and China, which obviously China into lockdown way ahead of the rest of the world. Feb sales down 67%. This is kind of giving us a glimpse of what lockdown numbers are going to look like around the world, because China was ahead of that curve. And tell us just how bad it is when we're all staying at home.
Yeah, here's one that I wouldn't classify as interesting. I just think it's one of those stocks, Simon, that are people, you know, habits are going to change coming out the other side of this. And I don't know if they're going to change for the permanent or not. I'm not an economist, but I certainly have to say that I don't see people rushing out and buying, you know, $30,000 handbags or Cartier watches in a hurry on the other side of this. And the problem I've got with Richemont, out of all the stable, it's not cheap. They are not known to give money back to shareholders. That's Mr. Rupert's philosophy. And I just don't think it's one of those shares that you want to rush back into. And I think they're going to feel the knock on, as you pointed out rightly so, that they're literally on the coal face of, you know, ground zero for this pandemic, where 40% of the income is the revenue is derived for the likes of Hong Kong and the Far East. So I would say this was and as you said, not exactly an accurate description. It wasn't up to March or April. This was only up until the end of the year. So I think this one is one to avoid for now.
As you point out, they want to give us warrants instead of cash dividends. Call me old school. I like cash. That was Nick Kuntz, Portfolio Manager, Sanlam Private Wealth.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting Altron year-end results to February, again to February, so not massively reflective. We weren't in lockdown by then, talking with CEO of Altron, Mateto Nyati. Mateto, thanks for your time. You guys find a sort of halfway point in the dividend. You still paid, where a lot of companies didn't, but you reduced it. Effectively, you upped your cover ratio. We got about a 40% smaller dividend, but it's showing that you're kind of taking that middle ground of returning some cash, but keeping some just in case.
Good morning, Simon. Indeed, thank you so much. Yes, we decided when we looked at the overall contribution of all the various stakeholders within the company, that even the shareholders can contribute towards the effort of, you know, making sure that we have a strong company when we emerge out of this pandemic. So we paid our final dividend, not the whole dividend, our final dividend was 40% down, which is overall about 23% down the dividend. But we are still very committed to our 2.5 times, and that's what we'll continue to be doing going forward. But right now, it was largely because of the, you know, the uncertainty that we're facing as a company.
Lockdown, obviously, from late March, we're now 53 days into lockdown. Are you seeing a boost in this from the sense of a lot of corporates sending staff home, and they, you know, perhaps from a security aspect, an IT security, securing those access points via the home networks, perhaps also looking in cloud resources for their work from home staff? Have you seen an uptick from your existing and perhaps even new clients?
Certainly. We have, we've got a broad portfolio of operations in Altron. And probably 70% of those operations will benefit out of what is happening. We have one or two that certainly are suffering because of this. The printing, for example, not many people today are printing because they are not working in the offices. So that printing business is down. But our security business, you may or may not bought a company called Ugusha, mm-hmm. that is in the identity management at the beginning of March. That business is well positioned and it is helping a number of customers in this space. We also, about 18 months ago, bought a company by the name of Carabina. It is in the Microsoft space. It's helping a number of customers move into the cloud. And this is what many companies are looking for now, you know, creating those collaborative and communication platforms like Microsoft Teams, implementing them.
Yeah.
So that's what we are busy doing all the time.
Is your sense, and it might be too early to tell this, is you getting a sense that corporates are looking at this as a short-term stopgap until things return to normal and get staff back in the office? Or is this perhaps more of a long-term? In other words, we're going to see a lot more working from home, perhaps even sort of when COVID-19 is more under control?
I sense that when I look at that, this has affected all employees, including top management, which means top management have been forced to work from home and experience that and have looked and see that, no, man, this thing can work. I don't have to be traveling for board meetings. I can conduct board meetings from one location. They are going to be asking very difficult questions to their staff. Why do we have to go fully back to the way we used to operate? When in reality, we can blend, you know, we can still have to come to the office, but sometimes we can work from home. That has got a lot of, when I look at the productivity of employees right now, it's gone up, you know. So there's that productivity. They are happy to be working from home. They don't have to be fighting traffic in the morning. Yeah. They're saving on costs. You know, when you look at all of that, it makes sense for the company and also for the employees. So it's going to be permanent, Simon.
Yeah, I think so. And that blend, I think, is going to be the important point. Income around 62% is annuity based. Is that your sweet spot, or would you look to maybe get that number higher? Or is that kind of like a ceiling for annuity based income?
Now, we've consciously been building that annuity base over the last 3 years, and we'll continue to be pushing it up. If we were to look into the future, the current businesses, those that are sitting below 50%, were busy making sure that they build that annuity base. It's very important for times like this, you know, we mm-hmm. can see why it's so important, you know, and that's what we'll continue to do.
Is that annuity base literally almost locked in? The first day of a new financial year, you can look forward to that year and say, you know, barring perhaps one or two small little hiccups, we kind of know that we're going to get X amount of rands or sterlings into the income side of the statement.
That's how we used to think, Simon, before the COVID. You know, and it's all in the bag. But now we've realized that we've got two. Annuity. There's one which is certainly locked variable, which is linked to the number of transactions that one does. You know? And as those transactions come down, the annuity base comes down. So we've got the combination of the two, 80% locked and the other 20%, which is linked to transactions. That has come down. You know, for example, we enable the transactions in the microfinancing space, and mm-hmm. microfinance has been labeled as a non-essential service in South Africa. Because of that, we saw volumes coming down 70%. And that has got a direct impact on that annuity base, you know.
Your UK operation, Bytes UK, very strong results coming out of it. In fact, spectacular results. Potentially unbundling to unlock value for shareholders. Is that something that is still on the Altron radar, perhaps?
Yeah, the Bytes UK has consistently been doing a great job. The team there, they've been growing, they've aligned themselves with the digital transformation. And we have always felt, each time we looked at it once a year when we were doing a strategy review, we felt that this business is not really valued properly. The beginning of this year, we felt, no, we have to make the move. Let's unbundle it. But of course, it is not a done deal. We will continue to look at the markets. If the market is favorable, then we'll continue with the listing. But there's nothing stopping us from doing the preparatory work, mm-hmm. which is what we are doing now. And once the conditions are great, we'll then execute the unbundling.
You announced Netstar, and I remember when this was launched, a global connected car partnership. It's with Toyota and Vodacom, essentially putting connectivity in car Wi-Fi, new Toyotas and Lexus models. I imagine this is not just for the individual who owns their own car, but I'm thinking also particularly with e-hailing, your Ubers and the like. And if we take that a step further down, when we get to autonomous sort of e-hailing, I mean, this is going to be the future where, you know, I want to get into a vehicle, whether it's my own or autonomous or an Uber, and I want ubiquitous high-speed Wi-Fi. This is where it's going, even if I'm going to be traveling perhaps less in a car.
Indeed. As Altron, we set ourselves to drive local innovation. And we say that we need to make sure that we come up with innovation that is relevant to the communities where we're operating. And when we came up with this idea, it truly resonated because, as you rightly point out, yes, it's going to help a number of Toyota owners, but the technology can be used in taxis.
Mm-hmm. You know, of course.
Transformationally when you move it there. And how many people, if you can then take your Toyota or any car, it then becomes a Wi-Fi hotspot in a township, for example. And that's transformational as well, you know. So that's where we're going as a company, you know. And to do that and be chosen by a Japanese company globally, it chooses South Africa technology and that is taking that technology into other markets, into other geographies. That's a good thing. That's what we need here in South Africa. We'll be able now to produce these gadgets, these devices here. That's driving employment in our country. That's exactly what we're looking for.
Yeah, and roll out that ubiquitous access to the internet, as you say. I mean, you know, you catch a taxi to Gandhi Square. Why not have some decent Wi-Fi on the journey? It's where, excuse me, millions of us Africans spend time absolutely every single day moving from A to B. We'll leave it there. That's Altron CEO Mateto Nyati talking their year-end results to February. We weren't able to get Johan Elst on the line. We'll try get him later in the week around results. Quick look at commodities. Platinum and palladium up 3.5% and 3.6% respectively. Brent and West Texas up 2% and 3% respectively. While gold, the absolute lagger, up a modest 0.75%. But commodities having a great start to the week so far. I don't know why, but they're definitely bullish. We don't want to stand in their way. Betting markets looking for about a 1% opening locally. And that's it for today. You'll find us live every morning, weekdays 6:30 on moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app, and the podcast on the website, the app, or your favorite podcast catcher from 7 a.m. My thanks to our guests, and a huge thanks to Cordora and Eddie for helping with the show. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.